social media master behind Team Visionary, Team Elysium, and Visionary Label. He's a genius at what he does. Welcome to the podcast, Sermon.
Wow, that was quite the introduction. Thank you. Yes. I'm happy to be here.
Appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Of course.
So let me hop right into it. Can you explain a little more in depth about what you do?
Well, I handle the social media accounts for Visionary, at Team Visionary, Team Elysium, and Visionary Records, which is Visionary Label, and then Visionary Records on Instagram. Two handles, whatever. And so all the content that you see posted on there, from tweets to Instagram photos to Instagram story, like all that is posted from me. I come up with like a lot of these ideas. You know, you see me interacting with fans all the time, like literally all day throughout the day. And that's pretty much makes up what I do at Visionary.
For sure, for sure. And you do an incredible job.
Thank you. I try my best.
When did you first start your job, and when did you decide that you would accept the role?
Well, I didn't get offered the role. I actually reached out to Chris DeRue back in like the summer of 2013. They had just signed Quest, who now goes by Sylvain Lecue, and I was friends with him. I met Logic June of that year, and I met Chris like on Twitter because Logic was on the XXL cover and a lot of people didn't know who he was, but I had tweeted about how he's about to go on tour and he's selling out tours, and Chris must have just been like searching Logic's name and came across that, and he followed me, thanked me, and then I interviewed Logic because I was still a journalist at that point. And then once they signed Quest, I was like, you know what, this is a big company and all they have is a Facebook that barely gets updated. So I decided to send Chris an email, and I remember the exact date because he sent me like maybe like 3 years ago or something. He sent me like the actual email like on paper, and so it was August 14th, 2013. I sent him the email, and we just talked about it a little bit, and then eventually like a month later we decided to launch everything. And that's pretty much how it happened. Just reaching out for the opportunity when there wasn't too much going on.
You mentioned how you were a journalist. Can you explain your experience with that and how that went?
Yeah. So back in like 2009, like the beginning of the year, I decided to start, or no, 2008, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I started a blog because they were kind of on the rise, and I have always liked writing, but I never really like considered myself like a writer as far as like being a career. But I was just like, you know what, I'm on the internet. I tried to write for another blog, but they didn't really want me. I probably sucked, so I don't blame them. But that motivated me to start my own blog. And from there, I just kind of developed it. I went from posting maybe like one sentence in like a link to eventually doing paragraphs to eventually writing long form pieces. I've interviewed so many artists over the years, and ultimately it just wasn't my career path. I went to school for creative writing, have my bachelor's degree in it, and I think that does come in handy when it comes to like Visionary. Like one thing that I know I'm good at is like punctuation and just making it look professional, and I like really take pride in that. So yeah, ultimately I couldn't make a career out of journalism. There really wasn't a place for me, even though I was good at what I did.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that's because of like how the community was set up, of like how it was just like maybe too hard to do it, or was it just for you specifically? You were just like, I couldn't be really in that kind of field.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to deal with, especially in the field of journalism, because there's not a lot of opportunities. So I did like some freelancing stuff, and I realized I didn't like it. I didn't like the idea of pitching to different people, and I just really hated it because I would send like these really good ideas, and then the editors would be like, "Nah, I'm not really a big fan of that." And so it really like defeats you. And getting like a full-time position at like a publication is very rare, especially if you live in Seattle or like basically any place that's not like a LA or a New York, like the places where Billboard and Rolling Stone and Complex, like those are the places that you have to be if you want to make a full-time career, because they want you like in the office and everything. So freelance life just wasn't for me. I loved writing. I felt like I was really good at it, but I just never was able to figure out where I was supposed to go with it, if anywhere.
For sure, for sure. I get what you're saying with that. Like, for me being, like, young and doing stuff early right now, it's like I'm trying to see what I, like, enjoy doing. The freelance stuff, I get what you mean by that, and how it's sometimes hard for, like, finding, like, a real career path in that. But, like, sometimes it can be rewarding, but other times it's just, I wouldn't say annoying, but, like, to the point where you're like, where am I going to go with this, or what am I going to do with it because of, like, the location you're in or, like, the things you get to cover.
Absolutely. And, like, freelancing, it netted me some really cool stuff. Like, I did a piece for Genius where I interviewed David Nakayama, who is, like, a really, really amazing illustrator. He's done, like, so much stuff for Marvel over the years. But he did the Flatbush Zombies, what was it, the 3001 Odyssey album cover. He did that, and so I interviewed him for Genius. And then, like, Billboard, I interviewed LL Cool J. I got, like, the opportunity to do that, and then I pitched it to Billboard, and they ran it. So that's the only time I ever appeared on Billboard. So it definitely can be rewarding, but there's definitely a lot of, like, stressful moments that go into freelancing.
For sure, for sure. And so now with, like, all that you've done when you first started, was there any inspirations for you in your job?
What do you mean?
Like, was there anyone or anything that inspired you to do what you do in, like, freelance or even now with social media? Is there anyone that, like, inspired you to get into doing what you do?
As far as journalism goes, when it comes to freelancing, Erica Ramirez, she's, like, a really amazing journalist. She kind of pushed me in that direction, like, gave me good advice and even connected me to, like, people at Billboard. And so she was a huge inspiration. I always worked for myself. Like, I had my own blog, and then, like, I had an internship with Complex. It didn't really work out. And I just thought to myself, like, maybe I'm not meant to work for anybody else. I'm just meant to work for myself and figure out how far I can take that. So her giving me advice and talking to me about it made me want to, you know, go out and do freelancing and reach out to people and, you know, try my luck there. As far as social media goes, I don't feel like I ever really had an inspiration behind it. I kind of modeled the whole style of visionary, A, after my personality, and B, after what I want to see in the music industry. There's no other label or management company that functions like Visionary. I take a whole lot of pride in the fact that, like, we're a very fan-driven company, because fans are what power an artist. They what power a company. And a lot of these labels and artists, they don't acknowledge their fans like they should. And so I always wanted to do something different. Like, people are always like, oh my God, Visionary responded, like, it made my day. Or, like, when Logic was using social media heavy and you respond to people randomly, it's like, it makes people's day. It gives them moments. Whereas to me, it's just part of the job. It's not something, like, special when I respond to everybody. It's just kind of like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. So I like the fact that I'm creating an experience for our fans at Visionary and Elysium.
For sure, and that's big, and that's something that Visionary does that no other record label does as well as you guys, connecting with fans and just talking with them and making them feel like they're a part of something special.
Absolutely, 100%.
So when you're on social media and you're talking with the fans and connecting with them about music that you get to put out there and like tease a little bit, how does that feel to you to be able to have that connection with the fans?
It feels good. I think the only reason why I'm actually in social media is because we've been able to tap into the good side of social media. If you follow me on Twitter, like my personal Twitter, you know that I really despise social media on like a personal level. I just feel like every time I log on there's just so much negativity and
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with this. So the fact that our fans are, I would say, I don't know. I don't want to give like a percentage to it. Obviously, there's always going to be like those bad eggs in every fan base, but for the most part, all of our fans are great people, and that's the type of crowd that we've been able to attract. So I love that. It motivates me. It doesn't feel like a job to me. It feels like just a part of the day. It's fun. Like I don't be like, oh, I gotta wake up and respond to people and all this. Nah, I
Yeah.
love doing that.
See, and this also really leads into my next question of like social media can be extremely dope, and the fan base and people that you build around the labels like incredible, but it can also be very negative. I wanted to ask you how you personally deal with the negative sides of social media, because a lot of people like they can't take breaks from social media because they would feel like disconnected from what's going on. Or just like they just don't want to leave. How would you deal with that?
Well, I have to deal with that because I'm around social media all day for the most part. Like I pick up my phone and there's notifications on Instagram. I'm on my laptop, I'm on social media doing something. As far as what I do to sort of like combat the negativity, I try to take breaks, of course. I like to read. Like I'm a big comic fan, so I will just sit down, put my phone on like silent, or else it would just vibrate over and over again, and just read for a little bit or zone out and listen to music. Basically do something that makes me happy. And if I'm on social media, at least personally, and I see a lot of negativity like that, just turns me off. Luckily, I can run to like the Visionary page, and so if I'm on my personal Twitter and I see like all this negative discussion going on, I can just be like, oh, I'm gonna switch over to Visionary and post something and see how the fans are feeling, or post some lyrics. I don't know. It just depends on how I'm feeling at that moment, but I just try to take breaks, and I try to use personal social media a lot less. I do this whole thing where I like post and go, and I'll come back and respond to comments under like my tweets. But for the most part, it's like post and go, and just go on about my day. Like there's no reason for me to be so connected personally. When it doesn't really benefit me, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because of it.
For sure, for sure. And but when you say like you try to stay off your personal less, like why do you think that is? Because I see me doing it with my own self. Like I'll stay off my own personal one less than what I do on my other accounts and platforms that I use, just to like post different types of content. But why do you think people stay off their like main ones more than other ones that are being run by person?
Well, I mean, personally, like I said, it just feels like I log on and it's like people are discussing negative things. Like there's always some kind of like bad discussion going on. I mean, you look at like the last couple of days, you got like all the abortion talk,
Oh, yeah, I know.
and not even like in a bad way. I love that there's discussion about it, but then you log on and you see like the idiots being retweeted. And that's where it kind of like gets to you, I think, because I don't follow people who are making dumb decisions as far as like that debate. But you know, people tend to retweet stuff and you can't really avoid it. Like if you're scrolling, you're gonna see something and you're like, damn, I don't like, why did I have to see this tweet, you know? So that's why I personally am not too big on my own social media accounts anymore.
For sure, for sure. I understand what you're saying. So, congratulations on the release of Confessions of a Dangerous Mind
Thank
and
you.
doing that on social media. How was that after all the tweeting of lyrics before and people always scrambling for clues? How was that for release?
Honestly, it was a very stressful release compared to the previous albums. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. It's a very mixed reaction. There's a
Oh,
lot
for
of people
sure.
that love the album, but then there's a lot of people that don't love the album. So I think that was a huge learning experience. It's like, how do you deal with that? And I don't know if I even have like an answer to that question. I think it's just something that you kind of experience and you get familiar with. And so it kind of turned me off from like trying to promote the album harder than, you know, usual, because I don't want to post something about the album and then, you know, all the comments are negative. Like that is something that I really don't like. And I'm all for like valid criticism, but the casual fan is not able to like be a critic. Like that's just what it is. Like most people, when they describe music, they go for like the most basic of ways to describe it. They're like, oh, this is dope, or this is trash. And I'm like, I want people to get out of that mindset that everything is either dope or trash. It's like, I want to know what's dope about the music, or why don't you like the music? Like, I'm all for people being more descriptive, and like that's kind of like why I like the Logic subreddit, because even though the reception was mostly negative over there, a lot of people were bringing up good points and talking about their disappointment. They weren't like, this album sucked. They were like, you know, I was kind of disappointed with this album because, and that's all I really want at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. But like for me, like when it dropped, I was going crazy. Like I was just bumping the album all day, all night, the time, and I really enjoy it because it just it's not like it's definitely different for real for like the different like sounds and things he experiments in doing. But like I enjoy that 'cause like I don't like him trying to stay like the same, if you know what I mean, because a lot of people are like bring back Under Pressure and stuff. Like if you want him to bring back Under Pressure, then listen to Under Pressure. That's just my opinion, because like I'll still listen to Under Pressure today just because it's so good. And Supermarket for me, it's just still incredible. I love the sound and everything. And just for me, what I look up to in him is doing new things with his music and not staying the same, experimenting in different areas and just having fun while doing it. But like I get what you're saying about the fan comments of how some of them are like, I don't like the album, but like they would explain why, but like they'd be like, there's some songs I still enjoy as well, which I can see that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just it was just difficult to deal with, you know, 'cause you don't want to see like the fans get to that point where they're really disappointed or like they're giving Logic ultimatums. Like it's tough to deal with because I'm so personally connected to everything, so it's hard to deal with, but I feel like I handled everything that was going on really well, and you know,
For sure.
that's all I can do.
Yeah, and for me, it's like I saw more hate. I don't know how this is possible, but I saw more hate on the new Young Sinatra 4 that he put out than Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. But then when I went on the Reddit, I could like see where most of the hate was coming from. But like for me, like personally on Twitter, I saw more people like bashing that album, which to me was just like, I mean, I didn't understand it. But like I saw more in that. So like when I heard people were talking about how this album wasn't like the best Logic album, or the beats were still good, but his raps weren't good at all. It was just, for me, it's like, I just didn't under I didn't understand, but like everyone has an opinion.
Right. I mean, when it comes down to criticism, like the valid stuff, I definitely try to like put myself in their shoes and understand where they're coming from. Obviously, I still love the music. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind isn't my favorite Logic album, but I don't feel like it's a disappointment for me. I get some fans are disappointed with the way that Logic was marketing it, because it sets like these high expectations. And a lot of artists do that too. It's not just Logic, it's a lot of artists that like hype their stuff up. Obviously, no artist is going to be like, well, my best years are behind me, so this album will be okay. Like, no, I think in the moment, an artist is going to be like, yeah, this is some of my best work yet. And when it's not, then it kind of backfires on an artist.
Yeah, for sure. But like the funniest thing for me was like I have a friend who normally he's like, "Why do you listen to Logic? I don't really like him that much." But then like when Confessions of a Dangerous Mind dropped, he just texted me and goes, "This might be my favorite Logic thing that he's ever dropped." And I was like, "That's strange how like for him it's probably his favorite and then for others it's like not." So like it's just a different thing for everybody.
Absolutely. And I feel like this music, the style of it at least, does try to bring in new listeners. But it's definitely difficult because it kind of feels like it's alienating some of the older fans in a sense. So it's very complicated and hard to deal with.
True. So you tweeted out 2019 will be my breakout year financially. I've gotten better at social media since I started. It's about time more companies open their eyes. That is a powerful statement, and where do you find that confidence in yourself and in what you do?
I just know I'm good at what I do. I mean, I have so many people tell me that, but honestly, before anybody ever told me that, like on social media, I knew I was good because Visionary has played a huge role in the success of like the artists, you know, from when we just had Logic and John to now where we have Quinn, Chelsea, Jeremy, AOK. We have this huge roster now and we're continuing to build careers. And so I know that I'm a part of that. I know that I'm helping keep the fans happy and keeping them around as well.
Yeah, congratulations on like all the new artists, 'cause that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun, man, because I've been telling Chris and Harry for years, like, it's time to expand. Like, when are we going to sign some more talent? And when we finally did, it was like the best partnership that anybody could ask for. Like, I love all four of them as far as like artistry goes, and they've created some incredible music over the last year that they've partnered with Visionary.
Yeah, for sure. So, what is your main goal in your career or just in this year in general?
And this year, I mean, you read my tweet. That's what I want. I want to be at a point where I'm financially stable and still growing. I still feel like there's a lot to learn as far as social media goes, and there's still so many people on Earth that haven't heard about Visionary. And so I'm not satisfied until the Instagram hits 1 million followers, and then
It
2 million, three
will. It will.
million, 4 million. Yeah, over time, we're about to hit 200K, which I've been looking forward to for a while. So I want to keep growing Visionary. I want to keep growing as a person and as a social media manager. And after all of that, definitely financially. Like, I want to just get to a point where I'm financially comfortable and not struggling, not having to wonder, like, you know, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to move out, how I'm going to, like, you know, have a kid one day and, you know, have the money for that. Like, I don't want to get into a position where all of that is going to add more stress, because I spent a lot of my 20s being depressed and I want to really live now. I want to really be happy.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. And so you're a big music guy, just like a fan of other artists as well. Can you explain like what your favorite maybe not genres but like artists are right now and what you enjoy listening to?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. I mean, I literally try to listen to everything that comes out. Not and I'm talking like artists that I like or artists that I'm curious about. Like once I get to a point where I've made a decision about an artist, I'm not gonna like check out their work unless somebody I really trust is like, "Yo, you gotta check this out." So I don't know. Like ever since I got Tidal. Started streaming Tidal. I like just scroll through a list of albums that I have saved, and I'll just like be like, okay, it's a good day for this. Like my palette is very diverse. I'm a huge fan of R&B. That's probably my favorite genre. And then I have a lot of rap. I don't really listen to like genres outside of that too much, just because it takes a lot to keep up with rap and R&B as well as going back and enjoying stuff, because if I were to expand and start listening to all genres, I would never be able to revisit stuff that I enjoy. But I mean to like answer the question with like maybe some specifics. I've been really getting into Nate Dogg's Ghetto Preacher. Nate Dogg for me has always been like that master hookman, killing all the hooks and everything. And then when I got into his like solo work, I was like, wow, this dude is just on another level. Like he can make songs, he can make amazing work. A Ball and MJG, getting into their stuff a little bit more. After Nipsey passed, I definitely started getting more into his work as well. I considered myself like a casual fan. Like I would listen to his stuff here and there. I'd have, favorite songs, but it really wasn't until he passed that like I really got into it and started to appreciate it a little bit more, which it sucks, but it's also good that, I got to that point to realize how great he was as an artist.
Yes, for sure.
So, I mean, I can go on and on, like, for real. There's like so many artists I can name. Like, on any given day, I'm going through four, five, six albums. It just depends. Whenever I'm at my laptop doing work, I have music going on.
And so for you talked a while back about Team Elysium. So can you explain about like 'cause a lot of people I've seen some questions on Twitter about how they're like, what's going on with it? Like, what's gonna happen soon? I mean, I know you can't probably reveal any of the like specific details and stuff, but can you maybe give like a general idea?
Yeah, well, Elysium has kind of been like, I guess, in the planning stages for like the last year. Like, we put out some projects to get people familiar with, John Lindahl, Big Limbo, Damian Lamar Hudson, and Kajo hasn't put out a project yet, but fans who have seen Logic on tour know who Kajo is. He's a big part of the live experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And currently it's just like there's stuff going on behind the scenes that I can't talk about as far as everything's going, but it'll be worth it. Like it's taken a long time since it like first started, but these are like the steps that are necessary in order to ensure years and years of success. So if it takes, a few more months before we can fully start to announce more stuff, then it's all for it. It's all for the best in the long run. Nonetheless, I can definitely say that John Lindahl is gonna drop a project sometime this year. I
That's
think
dope. That's dope.
that'll really start to kick off where we're gonna be headed with Elysium. So I'm excited for that. I think he's very talented. He can definitely be like a huge pop star if pushed right. And we're just gonna make sure to do just that
Yeah, for
when the
sure.
time comes.
I'm super excited to hear all the new stuff that you guys got going on.
Me
So,
too.
yeah.
Like people always assume like everybody just sends me all like the unreleased stuff, but I'm like, I don't get nothing until, a week or so before it's about to be released. So I don't have like a mountain of unreleased material sitting around.
Because I see a lot of that. Like, a lot of people would tweet you and be like, I know you know what this song sounds like or who's on the album, but you're like, no, I haven't even heard it yet. And I was like, man, that's, you know,
right.
That's interesting. And so I interviewed you a while back and asked you a question about, like, touring, and you said that you haven't really gone on tours much, like, with artists and stuff like that. Can you explain why that is or why you decide maybe not to go on tours as much?
It's not a personal decision. Mm-hmm. It's it just hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that maybe this time will be the right time for me to go on like Logic's tour this fall. I think it would be the perfect opportunity. Every tour that Logic goes on, like as far as US goes, yeah, I will hit Chris Theroux and be like, yo, I want to be on the tour this time. Come on, put me on, you know? And I think that now with me getting a raise and, you know, thank you. Yeah. It's been like 5 months, but, it's like the right time for all of that. Cause we want to create more content and, you know, there's more that we can do social media wise if I'm on the road with everybody versus me just chilling in Seattle, you know? Yeah. So we'll see. I'd be happy with just going on half of the tour or even a third of it. I just want to experience that, kind of go on the road and, mm-hmm, you know, I want to do it before I'm like just too busy to where like I have even more accounts than I have now. And
yeah,
I can't really leave. Like, I feel like now is the perfect time. I could definitely go on the road and still do everything that I'm supposed to be doing.
For sure. For sure. So after like your whole journey, and you're still on it, but like from when you started to now, what has been the most important lesson that you've learned?
Ooh, that's tough. The most important lesson. Keep going, I think, is a strong message. You know, it's taken me 11 years to become, I guess, an overnight success in a sense. You know, I started writing and then I took a different career path, had to switch careers to something that was going to be more viable for me in the long run. And so I could have just gave up. I could have just laid down. I could be dead right now if I didn't keep going. But through all the depression, through all the stress and the uncertainty, I kept going. And now I'm at a point where I'm just reflecting on that. And I'm like, damn, I can't believe, you know, I'm here now. I used to dream of these days and now I'm actually where I want to be and still growing to where I want to go.
For sure. For sure. I feel like that's a really important lesson, and anyone who's listening right now can take that lesson and use it in their own life if they need it.
Yes, definitely.
So what?
And another to add on to that, another lesson that I learned is that it's good to learn more skills. So even when I wasn't doing social media as like a career, I was still technically doing social media because I had a blog that I was running. And when I was running the blog, I also was editing my own videos for the most part. I was doing, you know, all the interview questions and, you know, I learned a lot of skills along the way. And some helped me today and some, you know, don't really apply to what I'm doing. But I say to anybody out there, like, definitely keep your eyes open and learn more skills, learn stuff that you want to learn. And you never know what kind of doors can open up. I see a lot of people, you know, that want to be like rappers and stuff, and not everybody is able to make it as a rapper, but I feel like there's so many positions in the music industry that could be filled. I mean, I've seen rappers become A&Rs at labels or like producers or, you know, tour managers or managers in general. Like there's so many different lanes to go in. And so I definitely would say to anybody to keep your eyes open and keep learning. Don't get stagnant. Don't be comfortable. Just learn.
Yeah, because it's better to learn and know more than one skill than just having and betting on one set of skills for whatever you're trying to do.
Exactly.
So after all this, and like, what would be one piece of advice, or in your case, the like advice that maybe you would give someone trying to do what you do in social media, like trying to manage different accounts, different artists, talk with fans, do all the stuff that you do. What would your advice be to someone that's trying to do what you do?
It's crazy because it like I always get like caught off guard with these kind of questions because I don't like think about like what kind of advice I would give people.
No, for sure, but like I'm learning off of this because the way you run social media is like some way how I sometimes would try to run it, and like I study what you do, and like it's incredible the way you interact with fans. So like for me, I'm learning off this question and all the other things you've said as well.
Yeah, for sure. I would say to be genuine. Like people can tell when a brand is not being genuine. Like I'm sure you've seen instances where like a company or something tries to appeal to an audience that doesn't really work. Like it comes off of them being like a culture vulture in a sense. We see instances like that all the time. And so I would say to build your own voice. Know your audience and stay in that lane. You know, not everything needs to be, not every thing that's going on needs to be embedded into the brand. Like that's what works well with visionary is I don't stray away from that. Like sometimes if I see something popular on social media that's going around, I'll be like, oh, okay, this would be a cool idea. Like for instance, I did like an Avengers tweet. I don't know if you remember that, like create your own Avengers with the at names of whoever comes up, and like that
Yeah,
was
that
a
was good.
success. Yeah, that was successful. But it's all about knowing your voice and your audience, and as you're building your audience, you know, you kind of figure out the type of people that you want to attract, I think, too.
For sure, for sure. I would like to thank you for being a part of the podcast because this was a really dope episode, and I feel like a lot of people will take lessons from it and would just really enjoy it.
Man, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to discuss this stuff in depth. Like
Yeah, for sure.
I get a lot of messages, and it's more so got to like do like a sentence or two. So it's good to like talk more about like what I do and you know give advice and everything else that we discussed in this episode.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, I love doing the interviews and stuff, but, like, talking about it just, it feels more personal, and I feel like I can learn a lot more from it.
Oh, of
And the
course.
people listening as well. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this episode of the CG Podcast. Make sure you follow Sermon on social medias that will be linked in the video. Thank you, and have a nice day.